Flo stops the leaks in her boat at last. Her long ME-CFS-FM recovery story. By Court Johnson, May 6th, 2024. Flo's ME-CFS story started with a moldy house, and 37 years later, it ended with a full recovery. Over that time, she experienced many health setbacks and challenges, and when her recovery happened, it came with a surprise. Who could have predicted that a mold-triggered illness journey that included stage 2 cancer of the bladder, severe back problems, a bout with a nasty intracellular pathogen, would have ended with a complete recovery? Flo chronicled her health journey in her memoir, There's a Leak in My Boat, The Challenges and Gifts of My Journey Through Chronic Illness. Link in article. In truth, Flo's health had been an issue since birth. Looking back, one can see a storm gathering that ultimately resulted in a complete breakdown of her health. Plagued by a variety of frequent and long-lasting infections, throat, sinus, kidney, and bladder, as a child and adult, and migraines, and battling an abusive and violent father, she got loaded up early with a basket full of adverse childhood events that have been shown to increase the prevalence of many chronic illnesses. With her sister coming down with fibromyalgia and depression, she was probably genetically not in great shape either. Her sister died at an early age. A difficult pregnancy and a more difficult post-pregnancy that included undiagnosed postpartum depression worsened her migraines. A serious low back injury and hip bursitis added more hits. Typically, Flo turned her pregnancy experience into something useful and became a lactation practitioner. Eyeing her sister's poor experience with drugs and her FM, she turned to naturopathic medicine early. On the relationship side, a successful experience with Worldwide Marriage Encounter not only turned her marriage around, but led her and her husband to become leaders in that community. Still, her health issues continued to mount. Wanting to lose some weight, she joined a gym, blew her back out the first day, and was out of work for a month. Then, one of those weird but life-changing events occurred. She tested positive for tuberculosis. Even though her chest x-rays were clear, and there was only a low likelihood that she actually had TB, she was working with pregnant mothers, and that called for a course of a strong drug called isoniazid. The drug sent her health into a tailspin, and she had to take a leave of absence. She wrote, "I could no longer work, think, listen well, or even follow a conversation. I had vertigo and brain fog, light and sound sensitivity, lost my hand-eye coordination and my balance, and hurt all over my body. So very little restorative sleep." Despite quitting the drug after 6 weeks, the damage was done. A 6-month leave of absence didn't help, and she left her job. It turned out that the doctor's office had not checked to see if her prior TB test was positive. Because it was, her clear chest x-ray indicated she wasn't infectious, and there was no need to take the drug. Then she finally had a success. A year-long course of craniosacral therapy in 2002 left her migraines mostly in the past, and gave her hope for healing her other ailments, and ultimately led her to become a certified craniosacral therapy practitioner in 2006. Craniosacral therapy, or CST, loosens up the fascial layers that have become glued together, thus allowing the cerebral spinal fluid that feeds and cleanses the brain to flow. Flo reported, quote, "Cranial sacral therapy was the first real success that helped me think change for the better was possible. Cranial sacral therapy threw me a life preserver," end quote. Flo noted that her doctor, Upledger, found that gentle pressure over time was more effective than stronger pressure because it doesn't activate the nervous system's tendency to resist. It simply feels safer on an unconscious level, so the body allows it. What an interesting idea given the hypersensitive nervous systems found in these diseases. Next came a successfully resolved but stressful bout with bladder cancer. Her experiences with heart-centered therapy, or HCT, helped her calm her nervous system down and even produced a spiritual experience. Her stormy relationship with her long-dead sociopathic father changed when she considered the difficulties he'd experienced early in life had warped and traumatized him, and she experienced some compassion for him. Ultimately, she was able to uncover a sense of his deeply buried but essential goodness. The heart-centered work led to multiple Healing from the Core courses. Despite all her emotional and spiritual efforts and years of chiropractic massage physiotherapy work, her health continued to fail. Increasing back pain led her to give up her craniosacral therapy practice. Her mobility plummeted, and her already poor sleep deteriorated. A cortisone injection worked temporarily, but more importantly, led to a pain specialist or physiatrist who used PRP, platelet-rich plasma therapy, which, while it did not remove her pain, helped significantly. Her continuing pain problems, though, led her to see two geneticists. She wrote, quote, "I had 12 homozygous bad alleles in the methylation cycle alone, which could account for the too low amounts of any of the feel-good neurotransmitters. An MTHFR problem, so ubersensitive to drugs and supplements, etc., and the HLA gene that predisposes you to celiac disease." The genetic results suggested she was light on feel-good neurotransmitters like dopamine and explained why she had such problems with detoxification. She cleaned up her diet, no wheat or gluten, ate organic food as much as possible, removed toxic elements from her house, etc. Despite all her work and the many supplements she was taking, her progress remained slow, suggesting to her naturopath that an infection was involved, and which introduced a new therapy, hydrogen peroxide IVs. 24 IV peroxide treatments over 4 months left her over the moon. Her energy was back. She wrote, "The difference in my level of pain and energy was nothing short of miraculous. I was overjoyed and excited about the future, and getting stronger and more fit as the weeks and months went by." She and her husband took a Pacific cruise from Vancouver to Sydney, Australia to celebrate. While dancing, she experienced a heavy pain in her chest. It mostly went away, but not completely, and she was advised to get a stress test and angiogram, both of which were negative. She now wonders if the unusual exertion caused her chest muscles to push back, causing pain. The cure was rest and a slower ramp up of exertion. Upon returning home, though, she caught the flu. Her pain and sleep worsened, and soon she was back to square one. Plus, with her veins shot, a long-term problem, she couldn't get the H2O2 IVs anymore. A blood test diagnosed her with chlamydiae pneumonia, an intracellular infection, which her doctor explained to her was very difficult to eradicate. More IV therapy was called for, but with her veins no longer useful, she made the difficult decision, after much thought, to go on multiple antibiotics and was on them for 5 months. Her fears came true. Slowly but surely, she deteriorated. A trip to Australia for her son's wedding left her feverish and sick, and on another course of antibiotics. Coming home, the pain, anxiety, and sleeplessness were brutal. Now, new neurological symptoms showed up. She had trouble tolerating lights, sounds. Sometimes she couldn't handle watching the TV. She had trouble reading and following conversations and was regularly experiencing vertigo. She wrote, "It felt like she had a lightning storm in my pressurized head. Her world shrank. Volunteering was out and her friends dropped away." Her naturopath had a new diagnosis, one she felt in her bones was true. A mold illness that probably started decades earlier in the house where she first started getting ill. With the diagnosis came years of treatment, which would invariably go like this. Her naturopath and medical doctor would prescribe treatments, Shoemaker protocol, which her brain body would respond to by going off the rails and deteriorating until she, quote, didn't know her ass from her elbow, end quote. At which point her husband would suggest that she cut back. At one point, she was so cognitively impaired that her family wanted her to be tested for Alzheimer's. Her practitioners never understood how sensitive her system was or the need to start low and go slow. Not surprisingly, over time, she lost trust in them. It was the worst period of her life. She later wrote, quote, I wasted years and lots of money being too loyal to therapists who were less than effective. I know now to ask more questions and keep reevaluating as I go. I thought it wasn't nice to question these experts. End quote. Still, a year later, she and her husband headed out to Japan for their son's wedding. She survived a difficult trip, but coming home, she was done with everything. She wasn't going to commit suicide, but she was calm and ready to exit when the time came, and it looked like it was coming. She began taking care of her affairs and took a class on writing your autobiography so her kids would know more about her when she was gone. Just as Flo hit bottom for what she thought was surely the last time, something almost remarkable yet simple and commonplace changed her life. She found a reason to go on. Renewal. Quote, I had already made my peace with God and family members, praying for death, when one son said they were expecting a baby, my first and only grandchild. The news gave me just enough of a jolt to ask God to help me, because I had no more ideas, end quote. Her daughter's pregnancy proved to be a remarkable gift. The budding appearance of her first grandchild changed things and ultimately led her to recovery. Now she had something to look forward to. She remarked, quote, nothing in my life had changed one iota, except my attitude and belief that it was worth going on. And that would lead me to a series of steps and choices that not only helped me heal my brain, but also a mountain of baggage and trauma that I'd carried all my life, end quote. Neuroplasticity. Quote, a special mindfulness and meditation course just for people with chronic illness was advertised. I took it and realized that a few minutes of peace and calm was possible, as was neuroplasticity of the brain, even at my advanced age, end quote. Sick but reinvigorated by the idea of being with her first grandchild, Flo sought out new possibilities. She tried meditation twice before and hated it both times. But when a course on mindfulness and meditation based on Jon Kabat-Zinn's Full Catastrophe Living approach for the chronically ill opened up, she gave it a shot. A panic attack 30 minutes after the start of the class sent her out the door, but she came back. This time the meditation, particularly the guided meditation, worked. Instead of feeling horrible, she felt peaceful and calm. Plus, the group sharing eased her sense of isolation. Not that it was easy. The leader explained that our brains are addicted to worrying and fear, but that by steady practice, she compared it to using a machete to hack a new path through the brush, she could start changing the neural pathways in the brain. Flo wrote that, in retrospect, it was clear to her that her illnesses were caused or exacerbated by the state of my nervous system. The leader stated that, over time, the old, well-worn, and oddly comfortable, because it's so familiar, but unhealthy pathways start to recede, and a new pathway becomes the one of choice. Flo reported that she learned to pay attention to who she was being and what she was doing at any given moment, and focus on the present moment. She recognized that most of her attention had been wrapped up in angst and bad feelings about the past or crippling worry about the future. Instead of being focused on what had gone wrong or what might go wrong, she worked on becoming more accepting of her current situation. As she did so, some of her phobias, such as her extreme fear of insects, disappeared. She also recognized that the mold exposure hijacked her brain and robbed her of the ability to follow through on her intentions. Not that she had achieved some Zen state, far from it. She had glimpses, though, of a calmer and more grounded person, which gave her hope. And that was all she needed. She demonstrated many times her ability to go a long way on a little hope. Tapping, emotional freedom technique, or EFT. Then came the real turnaround. While attending a tapping EFT summit, she tapped on Chinese meridian endpoints for 2 hours a day for 10 days and felt calmer than after meditating. Her main goal was to reduce pain. By the 10th day, her pain had not changed a bit, but she had. She felt peaceful despite the pain. Then the instructor asked the group to ask themselves these questions. Is there any belief I have that is getting in the way of releasing some of this pain? Is that belief really true in this moment? Or is it an old belief that may have been true for me at one time? Up from her subconscious bubbled a belief she recognized as a core one. After her many years of illness, it made sense. It was, there is not enough love in the world to heal everything that is wrong with me. After recognition came the questioning. Was it really true? Today, in this moment, was it true? As she tapped, it became clear that it wasn't true. That she actually experienced love all around her. She experienced feelings of immense gratitude and felt a huge whoosh of energy fill her body. With the heavy weight of the limiting belief gone, she felt exhilarated and happy and went home and did a major house cleaning. Not surprisingly, she took more extended classes. They weren't easy and she experienced some major breakdowns, but she continued to notice positive changes. Her brain fog and vertigo were lifting bit by bit. Her mobility was improving. Her pain was finally starting to decrease, and she dropped her cane and her anti-inflammatories. Still, she had a long way to go. Next, she enrolled in a 10-month intensive course, the completion of which would certify her as a practitioner. Her book demonstrates what a comprehensive and complex course it was, but she succeeded. She writes, "Over time, I slowly transformed my nervous system to spend more and more time in the ventral vagus parasympathetic state, and less in the high sympathetic or frozen dorsal states. As that is going on, the whole body can heal and work better because it is no longer in a chronic inflammatory state. Body, mind, and spirit work together and influence each other. I uncovered limiting beliefs instilled by attachment issues and old traumas I never knew I had, and changed them to more empowering ones that reflected the real truth of who I was. I could think and behave differently and be open to new possibilities, because my history no longer decided my present or my future, and because I was feeling better all the time. Although I still have some back and joint issues, I am a happy woman with passion and purpose and so grateful for the quality of life that has been good since 2019, even through COVID. At nearly 70, I have taught workshops, coached one or two people at a time to help them reach their health goals, and I'm starting to work on my second book. It was a remarkable journey indeed. While Flo used a technique, conscious EFT, or emotional freedom technique, that Dan Neufer didn't mention in our recent series of interviews, in some ways Flo's turn to health was similar. Her ability to slowly turn down the stress response over time, allowing her rest and digest response to kick in, left her feeling energetic and healthy. Her temporary but clear success with the hydrogen peroxide treatments indicated that pathogens and toxins truly did play a major role in her illness. rebalancing her stress response system, a major immune regulator, appears to have rebalanced her immune system, enabling it to take care of the pathogens that plagued her. Flo's suggested resources, and there are links for these in the text version of the article. For inspiration and plenty of helpful info wrapped in storytelling, you can read my book, There's a Leak in My Boat, The Challenges and Gifts of My Journey Through Chronic Illness. There are a ton of resources at the back. For the best EFT programs that literally transformed my life, go to nefti.com. There is a free 5-part series, as well as the courses themselves. TheTappingSolution.com is a great resource if you can't afford to take courses. I got their books, Nick and Jessica Ortner, at the library. Other books, To Understand Polyvagal Theory, any book by Deb Dana. My favorite is Anchored, How to Befriend Your Nervous System Using Polyvagal Theory. Sounds like a hard read, but isn't. The Sovereign Health Solution, Heal the Psychoenergetic Root Causes of Chronic Illness by Dr. Eva Detko. Thriving Through Uncertainty by Tama Kievs. Please support Health Rising and keep information flowing. Give a one-time donation. Link in article.